As a human, I live in a body made of flesh, bones, and blood of the earth. There's a fire and water within me, and the air that I breathe of the world. And I know deep within me, I live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. I live on and on. But I don't yet know where the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know within me you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't get nowhere when the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve.
Woman who controlled her husband throughout the life was dying. He was a poor thing, a henpecked husband. Inside, he was getting happy that his wife was dying. But before her death, the wife announced, "Don't feel that I will leave you so easily. Even after my death, I will visit you every night as a ghost. So be aware. Don't be so happy that I am dying. I will haunt you. And the husband was terrified. Wife died. Many days passed, and he felt happy and free. She is no more. And now there is no chance that she returns back. So he starts thinking about doing all those things which he always wanted to do. He felt a wave of freedom. But that very night, somebody knocked on the door. He opened the door and the wife was standing in front. And she said, "Mind you, I told you, I will not leave you. I am here again. And I have seen what you have done throughout the day. I know your every dream. So, be aware. and he is shocked to see the ghost. And she is sitting there in the chair whole night watching him. Now he can't even dream without her permission. He started thinking of going to some guru and take some help. But she warned him, "If you go to anyone, I will know it. So don't even think of that." He was not understanding what to do. Still, he went to a Zen master, narrated his predicament. The master said, "Oh, is that so? Do one thing. Take this small bag. It has got some stones, some pebbles. If she comes next time, ask her to count. If her count is correct, whatever number she says, at immediately you count it. And if her number is correct, that means she is real. And if her numbers are incorrect, that means she is unreal." He goes home and she is sitting there. He was shocked again. She says, "I know you had been to the Zen master and he gave you a bag of pebbles." He is again shocked. She knows everything. And she also told that he told you to ask me how many pebbles are there in the bag. And he said in his mind, "Oh, she knows this also." Still, he has to obey his master. And he said to her, "Yes, tell me how many pebbles are there in this bag." And she could not answer. And from that day onward, she never came back. She just disappeared. The man was so happy, rushed to the master and asked, "How you did this? Now she doesn't visit me anymore." The master said, "It's so simple. She existed because she was in your mind. She was just the projection of your mind. That's why she knew everything what you knew. But you were not aware how many pebbles are there in the bag. So she was also not knowing." She was nothing else but a hallucination of your mind. She was nothing but an illusion created by your mind. She was nothing but a projection of your own mind. We live in the world of illusions, dreams, projections, imaginations, and wild, unrestrained fantasies. We live in the world of Wonderland. It has got all the fantasies, like the Alice lost in her Wonderland. We have created a dream world and we project things on others. We see what is there in our mind. We are the creature of our own projections. We are the creature of our own belief systems. What we think in the mind, that we see outside. We are wearing a specs, a red lens, and we see the world is on fire. The problem is not in the world, the problem is in your lenses. And the greatest madness is human desire. So from today, we are going to dive deep into this madness called human desire, Ichha. How does it operate? What is the anatomy and physiology and biochemistry of desire? How it deceives us. We think it is real and it was never real. We feel it is there and it was never there. It just hoodwinks us. It is highly deceptive. Like a will-o'-the-wisp. Like an oasis in the desert. You feel it is there, you rush, you find it is gone into vanished. It's vanished into thin air. And the greatest human desire is the sensual desire. And the greatest human force is the force of celibacy. Celibacy is not anti-sex. It is the maturity of sex. It is not against it. The fire that burns you at the basement, the same fire becomes a torch at the higher level. It is not to go against the biological reflex. It is to transcend it. It is to go beyond. It is not the suppression. It is not running away. It is not to take a sword and fight against it. It is to reach a rung of consciousness where the entire illusion of sensual and sexual fantasies become worthless. So today, we begin a new series, The Pure Life. We dive deep into the insanity that has driven humanity mad. The greatest madness, the greatest foolishness, the greatest stupidity, where the human mind is trapped. We analyze it. We don't fight it. We don't suppress it. We see it as it is. The problem is that we are looking at a trailer which is so attractive. But if you fast forward it, it is filled with guilt. It is filled with remorse. It is filled with penitence. It is filled with emptiness. It is filled with a deep, deep dissatisfaction. When you see it in all its naked reality, the attraction disappears. The fire turns into creativity. The fire transforms into genius, into art, into spirituality. So the first chapter is purity begins in perception. Purity is in the eyes of the beholder. Just as lust is in the eye of the beholder, so also purity is in the eyes of the beholder. Purity is to get rid of all the illusions. Purity is not suppression. Purity is not repression. Purity is not an action, it is smriti. It is awareness. It is not an act. It is not an yogic posture. It is not a saman. It is not a word. It is not sentence. It is not semantics and rhetorics. Purity is the nature. Purity is Swabhav. Purity is Smriti. What I have to do to achieve it? It is already there. The moment I say that I want to become pure, I create a fight. A struggle. It is to come back to the awareness that I was already pure. There is no question of becoming something. The very act of becoming creates stress. The bird is chirping in the sky. How natural it is. Is it making any effort? Who taught it? Has this bird taken some singing classes? To sing? Any online course? Some crash course? No. The wind is moving. Who taught it how to move? The clouds are drifting. The rains descend. So also, purity is the natural phenomenon. Purity is the very nature of soul. Purity is not about, as in today's Sakar Murli Baba said, it is not like parrot-like repetition, as the devotees do. The intellect has become dull. That's why it cannot fathom these simple things, because we are addicted to complicated things. If you are presented a poem which is filled with difficult words, which you can't understand, you feel, oh, it's very deep. Very deep. What deep? Truth is without words and simple. So the very first chapter is, purity begins in perception, drishti, your viewpoint, your drishtikon. What is the perception? The first is optical illusion of lust. This is the human body, male body, female body. There is no sex in this body. The body is innocent. It's made up of bones. It's made up of skin. It is five elements. There is no sensuality in the five elements. This body is so innocent. The problem is you. When you look at a woman or a male or a man, you are looking at your own hunger. It is the dog who is looking at the loaf of bread. Once the internal perception changes, everything changes. It is the problem. Lust is not in the body. Lust has nothing to do with human body. Lust is an eye disease. It needs ophthalmological treatment. It should be referred to eye department. Because the lust is not in the body, the lust is in the eyes. The lust is in the lens. There is a dust. Clean the dust. It is an optical illusion which is created. That distorts the perception. You clean the spectacles. And everything appears as it should be, as it is. So, if you are wearing the lens, red lens, you see everything red. That's why you see the world is on fire. Just clean the lens. The second is the alchemy of the life force. Purity, celibacy, whatever you call it. This is the consecrated life force. This is the fire. This is the desire that is misdirected. The same desire can turn into ojas and tejas. And person can be in the position of superb memory, strong willpower, indomitable strength, and power to face all the situations of life, no matter who criticizes. The criticisms appear very small. In spite of all the oppositions and all the criticisms, the ability to move forward, the ability to strong stand, comes with the power of Brahmacharya, comes with the power of purity. It's an alchemy of life force. It can, the same energy which is dissipated in the trivialities, if that energy is redirected, it can make somebody an artist, a scientist. A successful professional. The same energy, if redirected, can become a strong force that can bring revolution in the world. And purity is the greatest revolution. Purity is the greatest kranti. It is just to get rid of all that. Illusion of being a body. In yesterday's Sakar Murli, there was a very strong line. Baba said, you are a soul, but you have not realized that you are a soul. You are a soul. You just know it. It's a theoretical knowledge. The realization is lacking that you are a soul. That's why 80% work should be done only on soul consciousness. The rest is the aftermath. The rest is the repercussion, is just the result of this soul consciousness. Rajyoga equal to 80% soul consciousness plus 20% SCC, Supreme Soul Consciousness. That is the mathematics of Rajyoga. Work only on soul consciousness. It is the illusion of the body that has created this disturbance of vices. And the third is the invisible hygiene. Purity is the inner cleanliness. It is invisible. By this cleanliness, you are not pleasing any God. This cleanliness is to feel light. This cleanliness makes you feel as if you are flying. That this cleanliness is about the transparency of the mind. This cleanliness makes you feel flying as if. Flying ever singest and singing ever flying. Soaring ever singest. Like the Shelley's bird. It is singing and flying. It is flying and singing, both things together. So purity is not to please somebody. Purity is returning back to the center. Purity is the centralization of consciousness. Every impure thought leaves a footprint on the consciousness. Every impure emotion creates a neural track. And we are lost in the forest, created by all the impure thoughts and emotions and fantasies. That's why youth suffer from sexual fantasies. And they find it very difficult to come out of it. Why? Because the neural paths are deeper. Every impure thought leaves a footprint on the consciousness. And then there are so many footprints. How can light shine? And then you feel lost. A person wakes up in the morning, sits in meditation, does a powerful Amrit Vela, then comes out, then goes and listens Murli class. He feels so angelic. He begins his day, and the day is packed with seva. And he has helped hundreds of people by his speech, by his actions. And when the time comes to sleep, now the emptiness attacks. And then he resorts to those shorts and reels. And the dopamine dumping happens. And the hunger is satisfied to some extent. But that creates an impure neural pathway. And then a trap. And he's lost. So the first chapter, today's first chapter, is to work on perception. Don't see the trailer. Stretch it. See the entire movie. The entire movie of sensual fantasies. They are not so beautiful as they are depicted. The first principle is they break this optical illusion. This is an illusion. It's not true. I feel it is beautiful. What beauty is there in this body? Remove the skin and what beauty is there? The bones, the blood, the tissues, the muscles, the flesh. Beauty is not there at all. It is the mind which has created it. It is the projection of the mind. So it's an optical illusion. Purity, impurity is an eye disease. It needs treatment. Second is this alchemy of life force, this purity, this is your very nature. It is the concentrated energy. It is the energy cultivation. The energy which is going down is now redirected. Urdhvareta. And the third is, it is an invisible hygiene. You want to clean, keep the house clean. Now government is going to give you some award for it. You expect some award because you have kept the house clean and you have removed all the garbage, all the junkyard. When the house is clean, you feel good. When the mind is pure, you enjoy the lightness. Impure mind is a heavy mind. And when you are pure, and when you are light, you can fly. The life becomes a natural joy, an internal happiness. You can sleep without repentance. You wake up with joy, with happiness. So this is chapter 1 of purity, perception. So see the entire movie, work on internal hygiene. Clean the lens and know the power. Brahmacharya is the greatest power in this world. It should move in your veins like blood. So we'll see every day some newer aspects of purity. Some undiscussed, ununderstood, unrevealed, unfixed. Deeper aspects of this topic. Om Shanti. Devi prasidatu mai brahma.
As a human, I live in a body made of flesh, bones, and blood of the earth. There's a fire and water within me, and the air that I breathe of the world. And I know deep within me, I live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. I live on and on, but I don't yet know where the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. There's a wind and it blows and it thunders, and the rains come and go on the plains. Once I saw you there standing before me, and now I am here all alone. And I know deep within me you live on and on, like the waters of life and the salt in the sea. You live on and on, but I don't yet know when the waters of life and the salt of the sea, they dissolve. When I die.